Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY car fix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
Hello and welcome to the WTF One podcast. I'm your host, James Coker, along with Ash Vandelay. Ash, what's up?
What's up? James is in a silly, goofy mood, and I love it. We're going to have good vibes. This particular podcast is going to be about the other motorsports, TM, copyrighted.
Earlier this week, we were talking mainly F1 and F1 headlines leading up to round one, which is next week. March 14th to the 16th, the Australian Grand Prix in Melbourne, and specifically Albert Park. But today we're going to be talking about other motorsport series, specifically 24 Hour of Le Mans just released their entry list for this year. IndyCar just happened last weekend, round one of the IndyCar season for 2025 at the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. NASCAR was at COTA, and we just had WEC round one at Qatar, which I believe officially was the Qatar 1,812 kilometer race. But let's just get right into it. Ash, they just announced the Le Mans entry for this year. I know this is like a bucket list race for you. You really want to go.
Yes.
What do we know? What do we know so far about the 24 Hour of Le Mans this year?
Full grid. We got 21 hypercars, 17 LMP2s, and 24 LMGT3s. So the entry list is out if you want to see which drivers are in which car, with whomst they teamed with. We will have five women racing in Le Mans. We're going to have the Iron Dames trio of Michelle Gadding, Rahel Frey, and Celia Martin. Lila Wadoo and Jamie Chadwick will be in the LMP2. So that's kind of exciting to see, considering a lot of people have talked about it. So it'll be great.
And she's currently racing in ELMS this year, European Le Mans Series, with Genesis, correct? And
great band. IDEC
Motorsport.
Yes.
Phil Collins. Man, drumming and singing at the same time. What a talent.
And driving.
It's funny because when you wrote down this list in our outline for what the full entry is going to be, it's like 21 hypercars, 17 LMP2s, 24 LMGT3s, and then five women, which makes me imagine five women just running the track while the other cars...
Everyone's racing around them. 21 hypercars is a lot. I'm pretty excited about that. That's going to look sick on the broadcast. Yeah. But yeah, it is. I mean, it is Women's History Month, but we should also just call out the badass women doing badass things. So still a higher number than last year. Excited to see more. Widow's great. Great to see Jamie Chadwick with the LMP2s and the usual Iron Dames kicking butt, taking names. So if you do watch the Le Mans broadcast, hopefully there's going to be some onboards of GT3s. They don't show too many of them on the broadcast. They're usually focused on the hypercars and then LMP2s doing LMP2 things of crashing out. So
I will say when I watched the 24 Hour Le Mans last year, I'd say a quarter of the coverage was on the LMGT3s, but it definitely focused on hypercars, obviously. Yeah. But I love Iron Dames so much. They are such a cool team and so badass. And I'm always rooting for them.
It's the cool marketing behind it. So yeah. I appreciate it. I believe Valentino Rossi is going to be in a GT3 with WRT BMW. So that should be also bringing a lot of people in because it's Valentino Rossi. So I'm excited. We love a full grid. We love when there's a lot of cars and a lot of chaos per Le Mans standards, especially for a 24-hour race. So it should be a good one.
We also had IndyCar driver and American Nolan Siegel winning the LMP2 class last year.
Wow, unfortunate that won't happen this year because of the June schedule of everyone thinks they're more important than each other as opposed to working together. I have such a rant about this. This frustrates me so much.
So annoying. IndyCar is going to be in Illinois, I believe, that weekend.
Love it. I'm so excited for Illinois when someone could be in France instead, racing in Le Mans. It's frustrating that they do this. the month of June, where we have 24-hour races, and it starts with F1 moving their Spa date. So then the 24 hours of Spa had to move. So Nürburgring had to move, and also Watkins Glen had to move. If you are unaware, sports car racing, they race everywhere. A lot of the top drivers race in multiple series. Mm-hmm. So it's inherently frustrating when everyone's moving everything and everyone's trying to condense into the month of June. Someone takes a date. NASCAR's going to be racing in Mexico, so some drivers that are wanting to try to race in sports car racing cannot do so. Also, folks in IndyCar, Scott Dixon races as well in sports car racing and things like that, so they cannot be racing in Le Mans.
And Scott Dixon drove in, and I believe Alex Palou drove in the 24 Hour of Le Mans last year, right, with Cadillac and Ganassi, right?
Yeah, Alex Palou also raced in the 8 hours of Indianapolis at the end of 2024. So, there's a lot of crossover between a lot of series, and it's frustrating when they don't work together to talk to a schedule, like sit in a room and just be like, hey, guys, let's do this so we can all cross-pollinate marketing and, like, talk about this and kind of rising tide raises all ships. But no.
But while we're talking about 24 Hour of Le Mans, I need to bring it up again. I am attending the 24 Hour of Le Mans. I'm very excited.
I will not be.
But I wish you were there. It'd be a lot more fun if you were there.
Thanks, James.
But I am going with Motorsport Travel Destinations. You can check out their website. They have a number of travel packages. You can camp. You can glamp. You can have a cabin. I'm going to be staying in a cabin through Motorsport Travel Destinations. That is just a five-minute walk to the entrance. I'm super, super excited. If you are interested in attending the 24 Hour of Le Mans as well, make sure to check out Motorsport Travel Destinations. You can check them out on Instagram. You can go to their website. They still have packages available, so please check that out. Now, one more question for you before we move on.
Yes.
There are only a few drivers right now who realistically could win the Motorsport Triple Crown. I'd say Fernando Alonso is probably the closest, right? Because he won the 24 Hour of Le Mans with... was it Toyota Gazoo Racing, as well as has won a Monaco Grand Prix. He just needs to do the Indy 500. He's tried it a few times unsuccessfully with McLaren. I'm wearing the hat. I think this year, didn't even make it to the race. Mm-hmm. If Nolan Siegel won the 24 Hour of Le Mans in the LMP2, does that count for the Triple Crown?
Does it not? Does not count?
Do you have to win in the top class in order to be considered like winning one of the to achieve the Triple Crown?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure someone's going to argue that you should, but it doesn't mean that everyone should be racing in a hypercar or et cetera. I think if you survive 24 hours in your class, specifically LMP2, and have survived the LMP2s and everyone else, you've deserved the Triple Crown. So I do not believe that it matters what class you win the 24 hours, and you just win the 24 hours.
Okay, cool.
So it's wild to put an asterisk on that and be like, well, he wasn't in hyper... I was just like, what? Are you kidding me? I'd be like, no, that's Triple Crowning. I'm winning. I don't care.
Yeah. Do you think in our lifetime we're going to see someone achieve the Triple Crown?
Ooh, interesting. I don't see why.
Because to this date, only one other person has achieved it, correct?
I think we will. There's a lot of talent coming up.
You know, like a dude showing up to a frat party, there's a lot of talent in the room.
I was a D1 athlete back in high school until I injured my knee. And just couldn't make it. I think we've talked about this before with, and specifically in Formula One, right? You're not even like, oh, you have to be good in Formula Two to be considered for Formula One and have money. Now it's, you know, they're scouting you in the regionals, and then you got to be really good in F3 or they'll drop your ass. The programming is starting when you're in karting. God forbid that you have a late start and like you have already a disadvantage and stuff like that. So. Right. I mean, I think we're just seeing more and more better talent come up. And as people are like, oh, I can't afford the Formula One. I mean, let alone motorsports being expensive. If they're like, I can't do the Formula One ladder. I'm not based in the best countries. I can't afford to move to the countries where Formula One is primarily where the scouts are and things like that. Then maybe I'll focus on sports car racing in the United States and climb up there or IndyCar and focus on that open wheel side and win the leg that way. So I think so.
Next up, we just had round one of the 2025 IndyCar season. It is a 17-race season going from March until, is it October is the last race? It's like a 6 month. It's like 17 races in 6 months or something like that. I don't have it in front of me. However, we just had the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg in Florida, not Russia. And I got to say, I thought it was a pretty solid race. Did you get an opportunity to watch it, Ash?
Yep. Did my watch along on my Twitch channel. And all I have to say, it's pullover.
It's pullover.
Yeah, it's pullover. He, it's winning. Three in a row. He's already has three, but he has wants to do a three in a row, which would be six. So that'd be his fourth.
We've only had one race, and you think he's already going to win the championship?
So, I mean, I'd like to be delusional sometimes. You just want to have fun. We love stats and analysis, but there's moments where you just want to be like having a good time. So Ganassi scored a 1-2, things led to a last lap pass by Dixon on Newgarden. Dixon had radio issues for a while, and so he finished second without help of spotters or his team or things like that. So
he said in a post-race interview that he had no radio during the race at all.
So, according to Racer Magazine, that's not entirely true. I think till the first pit stop, he had radio. So, it's an IndyCar rule, so you have to have working communication, otherwise you're disqualified. Mm. So, I think he said that as, like, you know, as an exaggeration, as a joke. But, essentially, first pit stop, had everything was working. Then, after that pit stop, for some reason, they could only hear him. He couldn't hear them. So, there was still technically some form of communication. There's, like, gray areas and all these rules in motorsports, right? And then there was, like, some static. There was, like, something going on. So, essentially, was not perfect the entire race. But he was able to pass Newgarden. He didn't even need his timing or what was going on in front of him. He just did Dixon things and got that pass. He's just so good. But Chip Ganassi did an incredible job with Pillow and the whole strategy with between Pillow and Dixon, honestly. They crushed it. I love that. Chip Ganassi racing did such an incredible job with both teammates. I loved it.
Yeah, they're just Ganassi and Penske are both just so dominant in IndyCar. And if you're listening right now and you're not super familiar with IndyCar, Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, Alex Pillow won the race. Scott Dixon got P2. Joseph Newgarden got P3. Scott Dixon is a six-time IndyCar champion. He is so good. He's been racing in the series for, I believe, 25 years now, and is just probably going to race for another 25 years. Who knows? But he is just so good, so consistent, and I'm just always impressed by him. But I thought it was a super solid race. A lot of people don't realize that, but Pato O'Ward also had an incredible comeback drive. I believe he like started at like P23 and finished like P10 or something like that. It was really exciting. There were like, I believe, 20 different changes for the lead. There were like seven different race leaders. So if you did not get a chance, make sure to watch the highlights or do a replay. Or if you don't really want to watch the race that already happened, make sure to check out the next round, which I believe is in a couple of weeks in Thermal, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, it's going to be a points race this time. Last year was not the first time it debuted. It was just for funsies and for monies. Mm-hmm. Talking about Pato, he had to pit early because he had a puncture, and he still was able to climb back up to P10, which is great. Colton Herta and Andretti, classic pit stop issues. they're never shaking the allegations of bad luck, unfortunately. Yep. So Colton Herta got there. Joseph had a fuel hose stuck at some point, but that didn't deter him too much. I wonder if they're going to go through that and he'll be like, that was the thing that made me too slow. Mm-hmm. But he's fine. Armstrong was not feeling the car, apparently. He was just not enjoying it at all. Yeah. Prema had a really good debut, and I'm going to say Eilat was P19, Schwartzman's P20, and you're like, Ashley, that doesn't sound very good. But that is their first time, right? They survived. They completed all the laps. Clean cars, no incidents. They were all Gucci. Finish ahead of seven chartered teams on the debut. Mm-hmm. And it's important because Prema doesn't have any charters. So that means every time they always have to qualify into a race, so there's more cars than set. So that'll probably be an issue for the Indy 500 where they'll have to qualify their way in as opposed to having a guaranteed spot, so on and so forth, and that ever comes to other races. But they, finish ahead of seven chartered teams. And I think there's unrealized potential there with Michael Cannon. And things like that. So it'll be very interesting to see how it all shakes out for them. But that's a good first race for them.
Yeah, totally.
Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need at prices you'll love, guaranteed to fit every time. eBay, Things people love.
I feel like I was really interested. The broadcast didn't touch on this a lot. I know Andretti and IndyCar posted about it a little bit on social media, but I was very surprised that the Fox broadcast didn't touch on the 20th anniversary of the Andretti 1-2-3-4 sweep, also in honor of Dan Weldon, who's like no longer with us.
Okay. I'm glad you brought this up, James. Everyone, okay, please grab some snacks, some popcorn, some tea, and take a ride with me on this one. Okay. Elizabeth Blackstock has a new thing she's been saying and reporting on, that she wants, when you watch motorsports, she wants her broadcast to be nutritious, which I think is a great word.
Sure.
You want to be well-informed, but you want to also be entertained. But it's mostly the information that you are getting, especially if you don't know something. And I think some IndyCar fans know a lot, and they might not have realized certain things were missing from the broadcast. Mm-hmm. Again, this is Fox's first time having the fulls. I mean, yeah, this is Fox's. They have the full entire season rights.
Yep.
There was a yellow flag at the beginning of the race, and for some reason, the graphics were orange. And I was annoyed, because what does that mean? They also had orange on a black background. And for those of you who are aware, a meatball flag is a black flag with an orange circle. And that means that a car, there's something wrong with the car, malfunction, et cetera. Or you're not going to finish. You need to go back in the pits. Your car's broken, et cetera, et cetera. Stuff's flying off. Parts are flying in the wind, flapping in the wind. So yeah, it wasn't a meatball flag. But I was like, I was talking to my chat, and then I saw the orange on the black background that they have. And I was like, what's happening? Is something broken? Mm-hmm. So it was just frustrating. The sound mixing was awful. You couldn't hear the announcers sometimes, or you could hear them talking to the producers and not the car, or you heard someone cough and something was going on. It was just terrible sound mixing. The graphics were all over the place, as in they were referring to graphics sometimes, and you couldn't see what was happening on screen. So interesting enough, the international feed is everything that we also see in the United States. But for some reason this weekend, they didn't see the graphics that all the United States folks saw. So there were a lot of talking about things that people didn't see in other parts of the world, and sometimes vice versa, where graphics wouldn't show up for the United States, but they'd show them on the other feed, which is frustrating. There's no push-to-pass graphics, so I had no idea how many seconds of push-to-pass anyone had left or anyone was using it. And this is so weird, because you had so many months to get this right, and you are Fox. It wasn't like me and James started up, bought the rights, and we're like, let's see what happens, and we got like pigeons running the show. This is Fox. They do the NFL, they do a lot of sports, and they had so many months to like look at other ways that NBC did it, see what they can improve upon, get fan feedback, and they said, nah, we're doing it live. So hopefully they fix it up. I was fine with was I fine with the folks in the booth? Sometimes I think three's too much. Sometimes I think they're too chummy. I just want to be, as a new fan, my SO was like, I don't know what's happening, and they're not telling me what's happening. And it's really frustrating.
I like Will Buxton, James Hinchcliffe, and Townsend Bell individually. I don't feel like there is enough diversity of opinion in that booth. I feel like they're all just agreeing with each other, as opposed to providing unique perspective from each individual person, if that makes sense.
I mean, if I'm watching the race, I want a play-by-play, and I want a color commentator, and maybe someone who knows like the rules hard and fast.
Yeah.
I think everyone was trying to have equal amount of airtime, talk over each other, and it was just like sometimes we were talking about things that weren't happening, and we were just having like I was watching the Manning cast, or I'm sitting in a bar with a bunch of old white dudes, and I was like, if I wanted to do this, I would do this. I was like, I would like to know what's happening on track. Shut my eyes, I want to know.
Broadcast also missed a bunch of really key moments that they had to then go to the
And I don't know if they're fighting what they're seeing in the producers, because I don't know if folks know this. They're not looking out on track. They're seeing what we're seeing on TV or different monitors and screens. So they're not like watching the race live from like a high, you know, tower or anything. They are seeing what we're seeing, and they have like a live timing screen and some other stuff. So I don't know if they're looking at things that we weren't able to see, or they didn't know things weren't pushed out that we weren't able to push out. So yeah, they didn't mention certain passes. They didn't mention certain huge moments. When incidents happens, it was too late for that. This also happens on the Fox broadcast later on for NASCAR, which we'll get to. So I don't know if Fox was having a day and just like things were not going well and something happened, but I definitely noticed it's just like, what are we doing? And I think I'm spoiled because I watch other sports. Hockey does an incredible job with this. I watch the Capitals broadcast. We have a Capitals fan here, and sometimes the Rangers broadcast. But they do an incredible job with the play-by-play. They know exactly who's always on, what the play is called, and a good mix of like a little bit of bants. But I don't need too much chummy. Otherwise, I just watch. Like, if we're doing chummy in live streams, just put me on there, and then we're we're going to have a good time and hang out.
Yeah, I agree with you. So do you feel like they were missing some of that historical context or no?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Andretti thing. They just missed some stuff.
Yeah.
In general, on the broadcast, and I was like, what is happening? It was frustrating.
I was curious. I was like, why is there not a graphic next to all of the in the live timings? Like, why can't we see what compound each driver is on? And like you said,
they didn't talk about it either. Yeah, strategies, things like that.
And like you said, like, why are we not occasionally getting a graphic knowing how much push to pass each driver has?
So some of you might be listening and being like, Ashley, you're too critical, and you're already writing your Spotify comment. But there's, again, from Elizabeth Blatstock, she mentioned that when F1 wanted to revamp their broadcast, they hired a gentleman, and I forget his name, Elizabeth talks about this in her articles, to help them revamp it, a very well-known producer in like the sports space. And he goes, okay, I'm going to watch a race with you here. First of all, he said, show me the race you're most proud of, not like the best race, like the race you're most proud of producing as an entity. And he's like, great, okay, thank you so much. Now I'm going to sit here with my headphones and I'm going to raise my hand every time I have a question, and that's what we're going to focus on. And from off the bat, he's like, what's Red Bull? What's Christian Horner? Why is this important? Why are we showing him? What's this? What's his tire compound? And like, he just raised his hand like every couple of seconds, asking all these questions, like giving them notes of what they have to work on. So people watching who either didn't know or whatever could just have it. Cause if you do know, and I know people complain, they're like, I don't want to be babied. If you know, you just be like, oh yeah, he's right. Like, these are the tire compounds and this is what they do. Cause mentioning it takes X number of seconds for someone who doesn't know. Yep. And you just like have that conversation with them about why it's important. And you're like, oh yeah, it's a good point to bring up. Maybe I forgot my friend doesn't know what this is, but I did off the top of my head. So he revamped their F1 TV broadcast because he just sat there and raised his hand about everything that was like, why do we have this? This is important. This is confusing. You're talking about this. You're not showing a graphic. This could be a graphic. We shouldn't be talking about it instead.
Right.
So I feel like IndyCar and NASCAR should probably take some notes from doing that.
Yeah, and I know this is their first broadcast, and there's going to be some learning curve, even though Fox already does the broadcast for NASCAR and has experience in the motorsport space. I feel like it would have been helpful to be given reasons to care. I think a great narrative that they could have crafted is like, all right, 20th anniversary of the Andretti 1-2-3-4 sweep, race won by Dan Weldon, who's no longer with us. Like, make Andretti your central character of one of the storylines of this race. Like, can Andretti honor the 20th anniversary by pulling a 1-2-3 sweep? And like, if you're an IndyCar fan, you know that's probably not possible because Penske and Ganassi are so dominant, and in recent years Andretti's gonna Andretti. But like, if you could have crafted the narrative like, oh, like, can Marcus Ericsson, Colton Herta, and Kyle Kirkwood like honor this anniversary by pulling a sweep as well? And going into the race, that could have been possible because Kirkwood qualified fairly well, ended up finishing fifth. Colton Herta qualified second, and it would have given you a reason to care.
Yeah. I think there's a fine line of, yes, I don't mind my broadcasters having some sort of, you know, chumminess to it. I just don't need to be feel like I'm sitting in a bar with a group of dudes who are giving me like a play-by-play and we're like hanging out. I feel like we're trying to get motorsport people or like ex-drivers into a broadcast role and not giving them traditional training. James Hinchcliffe talks about this. Mm-hmm. He's never received formal training. They just wanted him to be on the mic and just go for it.
He's very good at what he does, though. I think he's like the exception, not the rule. Like, I think he's like an outlier. Like, he is very good on camera. He's very personable. Like, he can give you color commentary
because he asked for training. He asked for, wanted to know how to do this. And I think there's a certain way Dale Jr. kind of had. I love Dale Jr. He does have this issue. I guess we could talk about this, and I'd be interested to hear everyone's comments. People like him because they're like, oh, he talks about things that I can't see, and like they're not showing me. And I was like, that's not good. The whole point is, like, he talks about what you're seeing. Like, he's supposed to tell you what you're seeing on screen because, like, you don't know. Like, that's – but that's also a production issue, right? Like, if Fox is not doing that, or NBC or whomever that he was using when he was doing that, that's also an issue that they should be showing that while he's talking about it and have that kind of communication, which is why they often just put him in a room to look at the monitor so they're doing exactly what you're seeing. Otherwise, it's just confusing. I think there's a way to do it. I think there's a way to bring balance. If you guys watch this – if you watch Xfinity Racing, which is the NASCAR feeder series on the CW, if you have it somewhere in your country, hopefully there is. They do an incredible job. I think Parker Klingerman is a really good example of someone who does broadcasting and is also a driver. And he does a great, like, I am professional. And here's like my tidbits as a driver of where I get that from.
I don't know how he does it, because he'll race at that day and then change into a suit and it'd be on the broadcast. Like, first of all, that must be exhausting. Yeah. And second of all, there are times when they're talking about the race that he's in and he has to be like kind of objective and not sort of insert his emotion into that commentary as well.
Yeah, he's done a really good job. And the whole CW team is fun. That is NASCAR production. So interesting enough, CW uses NASCAR productions. NASCAR Cup Series, it's just Fox and Fox. It's just the Fox productions. IndyCar and Fox uses IMS productions partially, but it's also up to Fox to kind of like tell them and like what we're doing here. So it's interesting to see how they've worked together. Maybe it's like communication stuff. They're just airing out some kinks, but we'll see how it goes. Something I did want to mention, there is a NASCAR journalist I think I mentioned in a previous pod, or mentioned often, Bob Pockris. He is with Fox, and they swiped him from NASCAR and put him into IndyCar to become IndyCar Bob Pockris. He's great if you're interested in either of those to follow with news. If we're talking about reliable sources, it's definitely Bob. And he asked a question to Dixon and Newgarden. And I will be honest right now, everyone, I am on the Bob defense train. I am mad for him. He is not mad. He's fine.
You're Team Bob.
I'm Team Bob. I'm just letting you know, everyone, I'm being silly and I'm having a fun time with this bit part. Not bit. I love Bob. He's my fave. He asks Joseph Newgarden and Scott Dixon. They're like, with Alex Palou winning, essentially, this is paraphrasing, how do you feel like you have to race, or do you feel like you have to defeat him? And like, how do you plan on doing that for the rest of the season so he doesn't win another championship? And Scott Dixon joked, because Scott Dixon, and he's like, oh, well, working radio might help. And I was like, that's funny. And then Joseph Newgarden, I like Jason Newgarden, but this answer pissed me off. He was just so sassy. He rolls his eyes and he's like, Bob. He's like, it's the first race of the season. I know this is your first time here, but it's the first race of the season, Bob. And I was like, excuse you?
It was a little condescending.
I was like, this is Bob Pockris. This is not his, like, what are you talking? It's probably, first of all, not his first time in the IndyCar Media Center. He's probably been there for a race or something. They gave him the credentials, but he wasn't covering it for whatever reason. But he's also been part of just like the motorsport space for so long in the United States. I was like, this is such like a rude thing to say. What do you mean this is your first time here? You're acting like he's never like asked a question before. Like he's fresh out of college and that was a dumb thing to ask. And then Bob reiterates why he asked that question, because this is obviously the strategy worked out. Alex Palou held off, was able to pass Stingray Rob, which is his real name, by the way, to keep the win while Joseph Newgarden was chasing him. And then Joseph and Scott Dixon got into it. Like, Joseph couldn't hold his cool while Scott Dixon didn't have a working radio, and he probably feels silly. I was like, this is like a really intense attitude. Like, this is a good question that Bob's asking, because it's all about a mentality thing. I don't know. I'm defending Bob. He's probably fine. I'm mad about it. How do you feel? Are you Team Bob? Please be Team Bob. Or do you have a differing opinion?
No, I feel like it was a valid question. I mean, yes, okay, it's the first race of the season, but Alex Palou has won 3 of the last 4 IndyCar championships. And Scott Dixon is the only other person who's won in the last 4 years. So it's like, I thought it was a valid question, and I think maybe it struck a nerve with Newgarden, which is why we had that response. Like, Newgarden has won an IndyCar championship before. He's won back-to-back Indy 500. So he's like on a good run right now, but I'm sure the fact that Palou's won 3 of the last 4 IndyCar championships definitely bothers him. And I think it just struck a nerve and he chose to go this route of being a little condescending to him. When I think it was a legit question.
My man, Bob. How dare he? I just like can't like, bruh. I think I think Bob was potentially, as someone who's interviewed a few people, there's there's ways to phrase your question to hopefully get something out of it. And I think the way he phrased it, he was hoping to get like, oh, what prep have you done for this year to make sure Alex doesn't beat you and get another championship, right? Like, what have you been working on? Like, he's won the first race. What are you going to go back and look at? And like, what are you going to make sure he doesn't secure a championship?
Right.
This man said nothing. Like, Scott Dixon, unworried, unfazed. This man said, a working radio, and done. I have the championship, right? Joseph Newgarden was like, how dare you? I was like, all right, simmer down. Simmer down there, Jay New.
I think Scott Dixon's just very secure in his place right now. He's won 6 IndyCar championships. He's won the Indianapolis 500. Like, he has nothing left to prove. And he also doesn't seem to be a guy that's like obsessed with legacy or being the greatest. He's just good. And he's like secure in his place. And he seems to be a guy that like focuses on his career race to race, not on a macro level. Because I believe the most IndyCar championships ever is like 7 with AJ Foyt. Correct. I just think Scott Dixon is like unbothered by any of this kind of conversation. Which is why he answered with such levity. Where Newgarden, I think, is still, while he's accomplished, very much has a chip on his shoulder.
How dare he? I was like, damn, Jay New. I understand you're upset. They just lost out to Chip Ganassi, but sheesh. Interesting to see what Thermal is going to bring. So Alex Pillow, funny enough, he also won Thermal the first time last year.
In the Million Dollar Challenge.
The Million Dollar Challenge.
Exhibition race, which you were at.
He crushed it. So I can see why Baum had that question, considering that Alex Pillow is likely to win again in the same exact race, and them now knowing how it all works, and he's pretty confident in himself. Interesting to see how people get salty when there's a one clear winner of multiple races. People get mad at domination, when again, I think we should just be in awe that Alex Pillow, we are in a time to watch Alex Pillow win so many races, because he's a fantastic racer.
Yeah.
Very clean, and I appreciate that. And that's your IndyCar. Thermal.
That's your IndyCar. Fun fact before we move on, a lot of people might not realize this. IndyCar does not have the blue flag rule. So if you're about to lap a driver, that driver does not have to move out of the way. So
what are you referring to, James? Would you like to talk about it?
I'm referring to the moment at the end of the race where Pillow had a pretty considerable lead, and that lead ended up getting a little smaller because Pillow was stuck behind Stingray Robb, who was in last place. And so
you also don't not have to do anything about it. You could also have just, knowing Stingray Robb and how good he is, you could have just not held up the race leader as well.
But it's a choice. Stingray Robb could move, choose to stay aside.
It's a Chevy choice. There is no way you think that Stingray Robb was like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this.
Bye.
I am no problem. I do not want to be, I do not want to lose the lead lap. I'm just going to sit here without any, like, anyone, any Chevy nonsense getting on the phone. Like, Chevy didn't do that in NASCAR last year to get some folks into the Final Four. Please. Chevy's known to do this.
So you think there were some cahoots going on? It wasn't just a competitive Stingray Robb saying, I don't want to get lapped?
That is not it. I guess he showed a lot of airtime for his sponsors, so good for him.
Yeah.
Moving on. I'm on to you, Chevy. I'm on to you.
Moving on, we had NASCAR at COTA. I did not watch it. Ash, I assume you did. So
I did, but I didn't do a watch along. Okay. Sure, I'll just make it really quick. Fun fact, this is one of the road courses in NASCAR where they make left and right turns. Did you guys know this? Say what? NASCAR has road courses, and they were at COTA. It was a new layout schedule. It's a little bit shorter on turn 6. They made a left, so it became 6A, 6B, and then go on and so forth. So they didn't go all the way down to the usual F1 format. They had, fun fact, they did have track limits as well, but it drew criticism from the teams because last year they had different track limits. Now this year they had different track limits, and someone wasn't paying attention in the driver's meeting, and they don't feel like they also enforce the rules well. So there was some chaos on the radio, some sass going on from the drivers to the teams. What are some big things? You had, this is slightly important, Austin Cindric I think he's now penalized. I just saw that come up on my phone. So Ty Dillon ran Cindric wide on the turn 20 exit. Cindric did retaliate by right hooking Dillon on the front straight at 100 miles per hour into a wall. We're a pro argy bargy here in NASCAR, just not like that, considering you're going extremely quickly into a wall. It is something similar as Bubba Wallace and Larson incident that led to Bubba Wallace's suspension. So everyone's like, oh, we hope he gets penalized, and I think he did today. So that's all taken care of, and he definitely should. You can't do that. It's one thing to just door someone. It's one thing to purposely right hook and retaliate. Famously enough, in the first lap, first corner, Ross Chastain yeeted himself on the inside of the top of the classic Chastain, got Chase Elliott spun around. Chase Elliott on the radio with his spotter / team said, oh, you should go get him back, or like, I'm gonna get him. And I was like, you can't say that out loud. You again, I ask NASCAR drivers to not do shady shit on the radio. Just be smart about it. You guys need to come up with like a secret language. You can't be saying that kind of stuff on the radio and then go do it. Not that he did, but that's happened before last year as well, where they're like, oh, I want to take him out. And then they take him out and they're like, that was an accident. And then NASCAR comes out with the penalties on Tuesday and they're like, well, we played your radio. And it turns out you did it on purpose. So yeah, just everyone realize we're all listening. Connor Zilich won the Xfinity Series race for Junior Motorsports. He unfortunately wrecked out of the Cup debut for Trackhouse. Daniel Suarez took him out. It was weird teammate-on-teammate stuff happening in COTA. But Connor Zilich, someone to look to climbing
Red
up
Bull,
the ranks.
Red Bull driver in NASCAR, yeah?
Red Bull sponsor driver, yeah. Got He's a Red Bull athlete, if that helps. Because there's a lot of Red Bull athletes. You'll see them in the Olympics or some doing some cool stuff. There's a Canadian diver, right, who's a... Molly, I believe is her name. They have a lot of them on the roster. Shane Van Gisbergen is one of them as well. And
he's very young, Connor Zilich.
He's 18, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he won Watkins Glen. He's I believe he's won to 24 as well. Mm-hmm. Great. I mean, someone to look out to keep up with his progress and stuff.
So far, NASCAR is there. So who won at COTA?
Christopher Bell.
Okay. Is there
two in a row?
So we've had how many rounds of NASCAR this year? Three?
3 points, one not. Oh, so four, but one was non-points exhibition, three
the
points
flash.
In races. Yeah.
Okay. Is there a clear favorite right now?
For what? Because it's a playoff system. There's
right.
no.
Right. Okay.
Unfortunately, there's no.
Are there any surprises on like drivers who are doing well, drivers who aren't?
No, it seems like the usual suspect. The nice thing is it's Christopher Bell's winning back-to-back. So I've said this a lot in the past couple of years. Christopher Bell, this needs to be consistent. Similar to my critique about Lando Norris, both of them have things to put together a perfect race and consistently win. They just need to put it together. Christopher Bell will be either top five or winning, and then he'll be P16 in the teens. And it's just like very yo-yo back and forth. Okay. Again, Lando Norris, I think he like have a really good start to the race. I'm like, you got to keep it. And then like just something changes. There's like a tweak or like mental. I don't know what it is. He'll just – second half won't do as well.
Yeah, it'll be 20
so
seconds
close.
On the lead, and then he'll almost yeet himself. To your words, not mine.
So it's frustrating because like you see all the parts of Lando Norris putting together a good race and McLaren strategy, and then working together. And like once they figure that out, and I'm excited to see if that does happen. Right, we're gonna have it. And I think Christopher Bell has finally put that together. He's also the number one guy at his team finally at JGR. So maintaining that momentum going in race to race. So hopefully staying consistent. He's been in the final four pretty often. He's just got to win that championship. It's exciting to see. He's guaranteed a spot in the playoffs. If you didn't know, NASCAR is a playoff system. We'll get to that one day. It's fun. I'll bring out the whiteboard and we'll talk about the points and how it all works. But because when you win, you're in, essentially. There are 16 spots in the playoffs. If you win, you're guaranteed a spot. However, there's 17 winners. Then it's done by points. For regular season points, and then we'll go from there. But congrats to Christopher Bell.
You go, Christopher Bell.
Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love, guaranteed to fit every time. eBay, things people love.
Next up, we had round one of WEC, or World Endurance Championship, round one at Qatar. I believe the race is officially called the 1812 km or 1812 km at Qatar. It's like 315 laps. We had a Ferrari sweep at the podium. Ferrari 1-2-3 with the number 50 car, the factory car, winning the race with Antonio Foco.
What are you saying there?
Antonio Foco, Miguel Molina, and Nicholas Nielsen in the 50 car getting first. We of course had the AF Corsa privateer car 83 with your boy Robert Kubica finishing second, and the Ferrari AF Corsa 51 car finishing third. So we had a Ferrari 1-2-3, solid start to the WEC or WEC season. Also, notable finish, we had Kevin Magnussen in the BMW WRT car finish fourth.
K-Mag, baby.
K-Bag.
Where he belongs in sports car racing, just like his pops.
Yeah.
Love to see it. I didn't watch much of it because it was not the time zone for me, unfortunately. And I had to, it was on a Friday. So it started, I think, at 6 a.m. my time. And then I had work.
I watched some of it and then I went back and watched highlights and stuff. But
someone told me Robert Kubica didn't win. So I stopped watching.
It's hard when it's not on a weekend to follow a race like that.
And I understood why they did it because of Ramadan in the country and, you know, so understood. But yeah, it's definitely hard, but it's great for Ferrari. Excited to see what it keeps going. It is frustrating, similar to IndyCar, the gaps in the calendars. I think we're so well fed. Well, I talk about this a lot. NASCAR and F1 could have less races and I won't miss it as much. I mean, I think IndyCar and WEC could have a little bit more, or like fill up their calendars a little bit better and like squish the races closer together a little bit.
That's one of the reasons why I have such a hard time even considering following NASCAR is like, I feel like there's too many races. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like 26 and 12 or something like that, or 24 and 12. It's like 36 races in the course of a season.
It'll be 36 points races, including playoffs and the championship. Yeah. And there's two non-points races. So total 38 races. There's only one, starting from whenever the Daytona 500 was till the final, the championship race in Phoenix in November, there's going to be only one weekend off.
That's wild.
It is wild.
It's too much.
I agree.
I mean, I feel like a Formula One calendar with 24 races is too much. It should be like 18 races. So,
I mean, we've talked about this before. That really hurts the staff, the people who make the racing happen. So, I understand we're well fed and, you know, we're spoiled as fans because we just get to sit at home and just watch and do whatever. But there's people there that are traveling and missing big life things. So, hopefully they consider it. But
the next WEC or WEC round two is not until April 20th, 4:20, LOL, at the 6 hours of Imola. Excited for that.
Yeah, I do like Imola. That's a great track.
Yeah. That pretty much rounds it up. I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about before we go?
NASCAR Cup races at Phoenix, Arizona this weekend, and Katherine Legge will be the first woman to race in the Cup Series in 7 years.
Oh, yeah. So I'm super excited for that.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool. I do think we also need to hedge our expectations. The men who are like, obviously she might not win. She's in a Beauty McLeod car, like team stuff. Like, we're not expecting it. If she keeps it clean, finishes the race, that is already surpassing expectations there with that kind of car and that team and stuff like that. So we're just happy that she's there and trying out new things. I love them. Catherine like just like jumps around and she's like, I like this. I want to do that. Yep. And I'm like, good for you. Go, girl.
If anyone listening is not super familiar, Katherine Legge, IndyCar driver, also driver in IMSA, correct, Ash?
Yes. She also raced in the Indy 500.
Yeah. So I know she drove last year. She's driven in multiple Indy 500s, but she drove last year in the Elf Cosmetics car, correct?
Yeah, that was her major sponsor was Elf Cosmetics, and they had a great activation at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So that's pretty cool. Fun.
I love Katherine Legge. I'm such a big fan of hers. She seems like a lovely individual.
Yeah, I would check out her and Sheena Monk as well, who races in sports car racing. Not in NASCAR, but just cool news. Jade Afidesian is also the first woman to win a Cars Tour race in the 11-year history. So that's something cool that also happened. So we just got women kicking butt.
Yeah. Okay, well, if you made it this far, next week is probably going to be pretty Formula One heavy. We're going to be previewing the season, giving our predictions, given that we watch testing and see if that changes any of our opinions on where people are going to finish in both the drivers and constructor standings. And towards the end of next week, we will be giving our Australian Grand Prix preview as we lead up to round one of the 2025 FIA Formula One World Championship, which begins March 14th to the 16th in Melbourne, Australia, Albert Park specifically. But y'all, thank you so much for listening. This is the WTF1 podcast. Make sure to follow us and leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure to follow me on social media at This James Coker. Where can people find you, Ash?
Everywhere you social media, Ash Vandelay.
Again, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.